I've been looking forward to this one all day.
When I knew we were going to have Brock Huard on the show, I love it when we talk to Brock Huard, co-host of the Brock and Salk Show up there at 710 ESPN in Seattle. Very good college football analyst for ESPN, who actually right now you're in Minneapolis, what, connecting flight to Lincoln for this weekend's
game?
I am, man.
One of my favorite, and I really try not to be that guy to say, oh, this is my favorite place. Oh, this is my favorite place. Oh, I love calling a game here. But if you pin me down and said I only had one game, one Saturday, outside of my beloved Husky Stadium on a gorgeous September day, and said, okay, you get to pick one stadium in the country to call a game for and in front of, it would be Nebraska. And actually, I was with Chip Kelly last week. We did their Oregon game, or excuse me, the UCLA game, and lost there, and I saw him before the game, and I was telling him that. I said, yeah, next week I'll be in Lincoln. It's one of my favorite spots. And we were about, 45 minutes from kickoff. There may have been 10,000 fans in the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I said, 45 minutes before kickoff next Saturday, 95,000 people are in their seats. Like, they do not miss walkthrough. They do not miss pregame. They don't miss anything. And the love for football there is undeniable. So probably my favorite spot to call a college game.
How about that? That's awesome. You're really going to enjoy that. Let's talk about a couple of things. One, the Washington's loss in the opener against Auburn. Had a chance to win. I thought they played well enough to win, even when they had the lead 16-15 and then lost it. Browning takes the two bad sacks at the end of the game. What do you think that loss does for Washington? What do you think that loss does for the conference?
Well, I think a couple things, Gambo. Number one, it means in about 9 days in Salt Lake City they have to win. And I think that'll be one of their toughest games on the schedule, to be honest with you. We'll learn a lot about Utah. They play at Northern Illinois. But Utah at home, and Utah just in this matchup with Washington, the game has gone to the final 2 or 3 minutes over the last 2 years, basically a one-possession game. Washington pulled it out of the fire last year. Probably Jake Browning's best moment, shining moment, actually closing out a game and making big plays to win it. Not done that a ton. Certainly didn't do that in Atlanta last weekend. So I think basically the margin for error is zero to none for Washington and any team in this conference, basically to go to the college football playoff. I don't think there's a team outside of Washington that's deep enough, that's strong enough, that has a fortunate enough schedule to make a run to the playoff outside of Washington. So their margin because of that loss is zero. And in that game, they had ample opportunities. They had no one to blame but themselves. I thought some horrific play calling in the red zone. Why you would ever run a QB draw with Jake Browning from the 8 or run speed option with him against that defense is ludicrous.
Yeah.
So they'll kick themselves for a little bit. They'll take it out on North Dakota. And then, as I said, in 9 days, their season will really be defined in Salt Lake City.
I'll tell you what, to me, as shocking, probably even more shocking, tenfold more shocking the more I think about it, was the game that you were calling, Cincinnati and UCLA. I couldn't believe what I was watching with that.
Well, I could a little bit. It walked through in practice the day before when I realized UCLA would have a true freshman center. Ultimately, because of Spate's injury, snapping to a true freshman quarterback, handing to a true freshman running back, playing true freshman defensive lineman, you just can't win. And obviously, they've got a lot of mentality to change. Oh, on top of that, they had suspended 6 guys, and 3 of their better defenders, especially on their defensive line, all sat and watched. So there's going to be, I thought before the season, if I had to jump down with you guys, I'd said UCLA is maybe a 6-win team, more than likely a 5, kind of like Cal last year. I don't know if they're going to get to that mark, and I don't know how many bodies are going to have left coming out of Norman, Oklahoma on Saturday.
Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks, because we are always fixated, whether we should or shouldn't be is debatable, Brock, at this point, but we are always fixated with the Seattle Seahawks down there. It's a trite question, but I don't know how else to ask it. What is the mood right now in Seattle about the Seahawks with all the changes they've made?
A lot better than everybody else outside of Seattle, and it's probably not surprising. We did a little simulcast this morning with our other sister station in Denver with Mike Evans and Mark Schlereth, and I asked those guys, I said, hey, does your market still hate the Seahawks? And, I mean, a resounding. I barely answered the question or could get the question out. They're like, yes, everybody hates the Seahawks. I'm like, really? Everybody still hates the Seahawks, and I think it's not just a Phoenix thing. I think it's a Denver thing. I think it's all over the country thing with some of the way that they played, some of the brash noise, loud, opinionated, obnoxious, all that stuff. But the majority of that as you guys have talked about, I think the last time I was on with you guys, the majority of that is out the door and playing in San Francisco and Philly and elsewhere. And, hey, by the way, stay tuned tomorrow. There's going to be one of the nastiest stories you're going to ever read on Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson that's going to come out. And you can guess two of the Seahawks I just mentioned were major contributors to that. So that'll come out tomorrow.
Wow.
You guys get a kick out of it. Yeah. And not a surprise that Mr. Sherman, he was not going to keep quiet. So he's going to you're going to get a real kick out of that. And not try it at all. I think a lot of people hate the Seahawks, certainly hated those guys. And in town, it's just been quieter. It's been workmanlike. It's been young. It's been energetic. It's been a lot of the things that needed to happen, maybe needed to happen in more parts last season. But certainly, I don't know, some renewed optimism locally with some of the youth and a quarterback that's playing, frankly, the best ball that I've seen him play in camp in his 7 years in the league.
Listen, there's no doubt. I'm a big, big believer in addition by subtraction. And sometimes talent doesn't trump that. I mean, I'd rather... You know, if there's a really talented player, but he's a me guy and he's a distraction guy and it's all about him and he takes away from the team focus, sometimes getting rid of that guy and taking a player that's a lesser talent makes it better for the team. And I've always believed that. I have, and I think that's what's going to happen in Seattle this year. I think they're going to be – I don't think they're going to have a major drop-off. I think they'll be better than San Francisco. I think they'll still win a lot of games, but I think they'll benefit from having these guys gone.
There's just a couple spots that are so critical to that, Gambo. I would tend to agree with that. I still think this is an 8-9 win team whenever you have a franchise quarterback, and I believe Russell Wilson is that, and they're going to run the ball better, and they're going to take more shots, and he's been, I think, energized by Brian Schottenheimer coming in, and just some of the newness there, Mike Solari, who actually does more than just zone block up front. So I think all that's positive. But the challenge is they are so, so thin. If there are any injuries on the D-line to Frank Clark, who's really their only established pass rusher, or if they lose one corner, I mean, it could be danger zone. So this is not a team that was 53 deep as they were in 2012 and 2013. This is a team that's about 30 deep and in a couple spots, maybe even less than that. So they've got to stay remarkably healthy. But I would, and I do think they'll be competitive. And they'll make some noise, and I think they'll be in it in December.
He just went Kenny Loggins on us with Danger Zone. All right, what's the Seattle perspective on the Cardinals this year?
The who?
Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, Patrick Peterson. Best cornerback in the league.
I'll tell you, man. I like them in the preseason, and it's preseason football. But I watched them. I was like. Man, same thing. I think there's just been some renewed energy there as well. And there's guys in contract years. There's some guys that are hearing new messaging that maybe is not quite as negative and degrading and just, you know, some of that energy is out the door. And I thought they looked great in the preseason. So that you asked me about Seattle. That is Seattle's answer. That is not my answer. I think they're going to be incredible to watch. I think this division is going to be a blast to watch. Everybody's crowned that the L.A. Rams is the champs and no one else could compete. I won't be surprised if the Arizona Cardinals split with the Rams and split with the Seahawks and the Seahawks split with the Rams as well. But I think there's going to be more losses in this column, in this division, than a lot of people expect going in.
It's funny that you said that. Brock Huard, our guest from 710 ESPN, our good friend, we love talking to him from Seattle. I was looking at an analytics-based website, I think it was 538, and they were projecting their records for the teams in the NFC West, and I was shocked to see that they basically said the same thing. I think they had Seattle at 9-7. I think they had the Rams at 8-8. I think they had the Cardinals and the Niners at 7-9, kind of echoing a lot of what you're talking about, just a lot of decent teams just kind of beating up on each other all year long.
Yeah, I don't know if any of them are just deep enough, right? And in this league, certainly we learned it in 13 and 14. In 13, the Seahawks were so healthy, and they just destroyed Denver in that Super Bowl as Denver was down about 10 guys. And in 14, well, it worked the other way, and Cam tore his knee, and Earl tore his shoulder at the end of the year, and they just got a little thinner, and they just didn't quite have enough to beat Brady and go back-to-back. And then really since then, there's just been an erosion of depth, and I don't see a roster in this division that has 53 strong or 40 strong. I see a roster that's got a lot of guys, man. If you ran out the top 20 of the Cardinals and the Rams and the Seahawks and the Niners, my gosh, there's a lot of parity. There's a lot of really pretty players that have done a lot of things in this league. So I think over the course of the season, you know, which team could keep those 20, 25, 30 guys the healthiest is probably the team that's going to win this division.
A real selfish question here. Who's going to get more carries, Chris Carson or Rashad Penny? I don't play fantasy football, but I am now, and I got Chris Carson on my team. Is he going to get a lot of carries?
Yeah, I think it'll be Carson. I think in an ideal world, he still gets 20 a game, and maybe the rookie, because the rookie is going to be doing some kickoff return, maybe punt return, some of those other things. So I expect Carson to be the bell cow still, and they will run the ball better than the worst in the history of the NFL last year from that position.
All right. Brock, you have a standing invitation to come on the show whenever you want. It's always good hearing your voice. Safe travels, and I'm sure we'll talk to you somewhere down the road this football season.
Sounds great, guys. It's too bad you're not in the mornings, because we could do that same simulcast we did with the guys in Denver. We had a blast doing that. So maybe we'll tape one with you. Do you think you guys down the road or
what time,
come in early? And
what time do you wake up?
We could do it.
What time do you wake up in the morning?
Way too early, bro. Way too early.
It's just not for me, man. I can't do a morning show.
I'm all over it. I'm there for you, Brock. Gambo might.
No, we're gonna do it.
He turns his back on you. Yeah, he turns his back on you. I embrace you with open arms, Brock.
I'll let you guys come in. You guys come in at like 9, and we'll do it at 9. We'll do it live on our show, and
done.
You can tape it, then you can run
nine.
It during your show.
As long as I don't have to get up like 9, I can get up at 9. All right.
Let's do it in 5 weeks, all right?
Book it. Sounds good. All right, book it. Safe travels, Brock. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. All right, man.
Brock Huer joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I could talk to that guy all day.